Senate Revenue Committee. Got four bills up today. We're going to do, in order, 819, 747, 230, and 231. At this point, I don't think, although we'll hear testimony and get updated on both 819 and 747, I don't believe we'll move either of those this afternoon. And then, provided that Senator Hannon arrives, we'll move 230 and 231, two bills that he's been working on. Open a work session on Senate Bill 819. Steve, do you want to update us on where we left this bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 819, as you recall, had a -1 amendment with it, when you brought it back to committee, you did not reconsider the vote by which you adopted the -1 amendment, so that's something to consider. You have a -2 amendment also that is a new improved version of the -1. So after spending some time looking at the original language, it was decided that it was a little bit narrow and probably should be redrafted, and so you have that as the -2. The bill itself deals with the amount of local option revenue that can be excluded from the state school formula. It changes it to 15% of the school formula, or $750 per weighted student for the amount excluded. And then the -1 amendment dealt with small high school mergers and how much extra weight the district would still qualify for after the merger of those small high schools.
For a four-year period.
And in your packet, also, you have a couple of tables. One table for Senate Bill 819 is local option taxes excluded from high school or from school formula local revenue, to give you some idea of the exclusion limit in Senate Bill 819 in terms of the dollar amount per district and how that would compare to current law. And it also shows which districts have a local option in place currently. So that's new information for you. And then you have a -3 amendment for small high schools that I think may be proposed, and then also the -4 for the testimony.
Thank you. Senator, Representative, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll go ahead and take the prerogative as agreed upon by Senator Starr to go ahead and begin. For the record, I'm Jerry Kremel, State Representative, House District 26. I present to you today the -4 amendments for your consideration and ask that you consider putting them, or that you actually put them, into Senate Bill 819. What this would do is create a high-growth grant. We have some districts in the state that have basically been penalized under equalization for support that the communities provided for their schools early in the 80s and early 90s, before Measure 5 actually passed. And what this will this amendment is designed to do is kind of remedy the catch 22 that high growth districts find themselves in, so that as part of equalization, they're not sort of left in the lurch and not having enough dollars to support the education that they're expected to give to the students that move into their districts. And so for that, what it does, it's a $2 million grant for high-growth districts, and high growth is defined as a district that has had a growth in ADM of 4% or more over the previous fiscal year for five prior years. So I appreciate your consideration of the amendment.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I am State Senator Charles Starr. This bill is an important bill, or this amendment, excuse me. We're talking about school districts that had previously funded their schools very well, and now, because of Measure 5, unable to realize all the benefits of the local property tax, and yet they're continuing to grow at a very rapid rate. In this case, 4% per year is a pretty high standard. And we recognize that there's probably only one district that fits this at the present time. And Sherwood School District has been growing, actually, over the last decade at this rate. They have not only been the fastest growing district in the state, but they've also been the lowest funded district in the state. And we feel that by recognizing the extra cost and the compression that they've operated under for these 10 years, that it's appropriate that we establish a high growth grant in the formula so that districts who might exceed this level of growth might have an opportunity to have some recovery of the funds that they must expend in order to have continue to have a super district. And this district, we know from the record, has done extremely good job under Superintendent Hill and now under Superintendent Saxon, and they deserve this kind of support. I urge favorable consideration of this amendment, and I do pass for Senate Bill 819.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Corcoran.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, with all due respect, this then wouldn't be one of the schools that you'd be wanting kids to run, not walk away from?
This would be one of the premier schools in the state. And I think that the question you raise is...
It's rhetorical.
It's rhetorical.
And absolutely uncalled for, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Especially in light of the work that we need to do in this committee and in this chamber to work in a bipartisan fashion to move good public policy through the state.
We do. Well, thank you. I don't know any other questions. We do have some very difficult issues on school finance formula that are in this committee on a daily basis, and it's very important that when other senators or representatives bring issues that we're going to have to work together on, I think, some really difficult issues starting, what, Friday when the budget comes out. So I really appreciate the testimony from both of you.
Thank you.
Senator Ringo.
Thank you. I want to thank both of you for bringing this. Coming from the Beaverton Hillsboro area, I can tell you that, and you know this, that high-growth areas have costs that can't be taken into account through capital bonds. I mean, that may pay for the brick-and-mortar of putting up the new school, but it doesn't pay for the new computers and other new startup costs that are really a killer to high-growth areas. So I appreciate your bringing this bill. I did want to ask one question of you or even perhaps to our committee staff, and that is the $2 million grant, I think, makes a lot of sense. If you have a district that's fairly large, and actually I whispered with Senator Starr here that, you know, most small districts are declining. But I could see hypothetically you could have a very small district that might be growing, and then that $2 million would be a lot of money. And I'm just wondering if there's any way to factor that in.
Let me go ahead and take a stab at that one, Mr. Chair, and Senator Ringo. As Senator Starr mentioned, the Sherwood School District has had declining dollars on a per-student basis for the last 10 years, ever since equalization came into being in the 93 session. And yet their enrollment has continued to increase on average of 4 to 6% per year. They've even had some 10% years.
Yeah.
And they have been building the bricks and mortar about as fast as any district could be expected to build. They've been able to pass the bonds to be able to build for the capital construction. But what has actually happened is that over the course of the last 10 years, they have had a reduction in what in terms of what other districts have seen in growth. They've actually actually seen a reduction of about $1.8 million. Yes. And so this $2 million recovery is sort of would bring them up to par on a per-student spending level with other districts in the state, as opposed to having them continually held at a frozen level.
And Mr. Chair, I can easily see why Sherwood desperately needs the money. And the only question I raise is whether there might be some very odd circumstances where we'd have an unintended effect. But we can explore that further.
Well, and if I may, Mr. Chair, one of the reasons why the Senator and I drafted the amendment the way we did is because we're not trying to preclude other high-growth districts. I have Westland Wilsonville in my legislative district also, which has been a very high-growth district, as have, and my district also does touch on Hillsborough, Beaverton, and then I also have the Gaston schools, which have stayed relatively flat in terms of enrollment growth, but nonetheless still needs to have dollars to take care of their schools.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. I know you're in other committees right now, so appreciate
you very much.
Getting
out
of here. Okay, that's it on 819. My intention would be to not move. We'll give the Senator and Representative time to work these issues. We're not going to move 819 this afternoon.
Okay.
So you will have a day or two to work on it.
Thank you.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 819. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 747 just to get the committee updated on where we're at on a bill we probably last heard, I guess, 2 months ago. Senator Farrelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the intention and the hope is that Senate Bill 747 can be moved forward to the Full Ways and Means Committee, where we will be considering a whole variety of different scenarios and options for school funding issues. Senate Bill 747 would restore the funds from Public Law 106-393 that was passed in 2000, restore those dollars to the districts in whole. That has essentially an effect on many other school districts in the state of Oregon, and some disproportionately. About $25 per ADMW is, I believe, the number that would be adjusted. It's our hope and our intention to find additional revenue balancing measures and opportunities, like Senate Bill 18, for instance, that will help hold those districts harmless. We're also working very diligently to try to assist those rural schools that would not benefit from Public Law 106-393 by helping do some redistribution within the dollars that were appropriated by Congress in that regard. So, Mr. Chairman, it's our hope that we can move 747 to the full ways and means with a due pass recommendation, and that will be a way to keep the issue alive, a way to put it on the table along with other potential revenue enhancers and adjustments to the formula, so that when we do finally end up with an approved budget in this legislative session, that we can cure some past inequities, deliver the dollars that were appropriated by Congress to the target schools, and in so doing also find mechanisms to hold harmless those schools that would lose the $25 per ADMW. So that's the intention, that's the package, and I hope eventually that that is the agreement that we have out of this legislature.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'd like to thank Senator Hannan for his work on both the prior bill and this bill of getting them with Senator President, getting them together. Senator Hannan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank you, excuse me, for working with the Senate President. I would certainly hope that as we did move 819 over, that we can bring it back for a fairly quick work session. My intent of moving 747 is to support sending it down to Ways and Means, where it can be considered as part of the overall package of school finance, and allow it to either stand or fall on its own merits, and recognize that rural schools are impacted by these federal funds that were granted for rural schools. However, Mr. Chairman, I understand the concern on the part of some of my urban legislative colleagues, and for that reason I would urge that we send it down there, allow it to be considered as part of the overall package, and then however it's dealt with, then we can take it from there. But I want to thank the good Senator from John Day for his work and support for his bill.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fairley.
I'd like to join Senator Hannan in thanking you for allowing opportunity for us to have discussions that would essentially move the bill forward to Ways and Means. And I would also like to thank the President and Senator Hannan for their work in helping to essentially coalesce a group, shepherd the discussions, and bring us to the point where we can move 747 with a due pass to Ways and Means.
Thank you. Anything further? We will bring these bills back soon. Close the work session on Senate Bill 747. Open a work session on Senate Bill 230.
So we only did this to listen to the two amendments, to the amendment.
Lynn, are you good on 230?
Yeah, 230 and 231. I got both the amendments.
Yeah. Okay.
Mason has been working on them very diligently, so he gets all the credit for it.
So we will do we're in work session on Senate Bill 230. Mazin and Senator Hannan will update us on these two bills.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just to refresh you of memory on Senate Bill 230. This Senate bill permits the Department of Revenue to reduce penalties, and also it changes the penalties for the centrally assessed properties to conform with the industrial properties, so they would be the same, and allows the Department of Revenue to adopt rules for not imposing those penalties. Now, there is a dash one amendment that was, I believe, worked along with Senator Hannan in clarifying the ways by which the determination of the director of the Department of Revenue in doing the waiving of the fees or readjustments of it. And the dash one amendment primarily keeps the conditions in the statutes, in the ORSs, and sort of solidify those into the statutes in a way that does not push them to the OARs. With this change, Mr. Chair, I think the revenue impact that we were looking at before came from two sources. The first one was through the process of waiver, and the other one was the process of increasing the fees for the industrial properties. The source of revenue coming from waiving the fees have been reduced by about 50% due to these changes that were introduced into the ORSs. However, the increases that we see from going from $1 to $1,000 and the maximum to the new scale of $10 to $5,000 per thousand for the maximum still generates about 4.6 million a biennium of new revenue. Fiscal impact is still relatively non-numbers.
Mr. Hannan?
Yes, Ms. Chairman, I would like to thank the Department of Revenue staff and Mazin Malik for working on this. As you'll recall, when this bill had original hearing, I had some concern about the language, but I wanted to put language in the statute that gave flexibility to the Department of Revenue while maintaining the statutory authority. And my concern was that in the future, when legislators such as us are not here and somebody else is not is here, then they understand that there's legislative history for having statutory language rather than trusting everything to administrative rule on the assumption that everything's always going to be there and in place and the same. But if we need to change it, then we can change the statute and we don't have to change administrative rule. And so I thank the committee for your indulgence in allowing me to work on these amendments.
Thank you. We are in work session. We do not need to hear from the department.
No.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Ringo.
Thank you. I would just appreciate a comment as to what might constitute good and sufficient cause. And we heard a little bit about that, but I just wondered if there's any more information on that.
Mr. Chairman, if I can.
Please.
Good and sufficient cause is in the administrative rules. And what we did was put this in the statute language so that it gave flexibility to the Department of Revenue to take an individual case under advisement or consideration on appeal, and it may be treated than a different case that may be totally assessed the penalty against. But it gives flexibility to the Department of Revenue to make an individual determination. So good and sufficient cause was language that their attorney general indicated that gave them the flexibility to be able to make individual decisions based upon a case-by-case merit.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Hammond.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Dash 1 amendments.
Senator Hannon has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 230. Discussion. Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I've moved Senate Bill 230 as amended out to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hannon has moved Senate Bill 230 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Discussion. Any objections?
Objection.
Senator Starr objects. Any further objection? So ordered. Senator Hannon, if you'd be willing to carry
sure.
Bill 230 to the floor. Open a work session on Senate Bill 231. Same story, Mazin, Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it is along the same lines and the same work that we worked with Senate Bill 231. However, in your packet, you would find two amendments, 231-1 and 232-2. I think the difference in the two amendments, they speak about the same language almost. Except in the dash twos, there is more of a clarification on line eight at the end that the actions or the good and sufficient cause is not of the department, but it is a good and sufficient cause of the taxpayer. That was slightly a different fine-tuning by counsel on this point. And then on line 13 of the Dash 2 amendment, it specifies more to about the to waive, reduce, or compromise in order to make sure that these are the actions that could be taken to increase the efficiency of voluntary tax compliance system. And in addition to that, Mr. Chair, the amendment as it came and it put and clarified all the different issues within the bill have almost taken out the previous small revenue impact that we were looking at before that.
Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 231 actually is a mirror of 230. 230 dealt with industrial and commercial properties. 231 deals with individual and individual income tax that a person for some reason failed to, by their own admission, not have a deduction or not have a something that they were entitled to, and they appealed it to the Department of Revenue, as I understand that. Now, if I need to be corrected, and the Revenue Department changed the rule and said, here you have to go back and identify and claim this, or you have to pay taxes on this. This would allow the Department of Revenue by individual action to be able to deal with an individual taxpayer. Is that a fair assessment? The Department of Revenue is shaking their head, yes.
That was my recollection also.
Okay.
From the prior testimony.
The tape doesn't pick up shaking heads.
Yeah, or indicate which way they were shaking.
Thank you, Senator Hannan. And appreciate the work that you put in on both of these bills to get them ready for our consideration.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion?
We are ready.
I would move the Dash 2 amendments.
Senator Hannan has moved the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 231 discussion. Any objection?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Senate Bill 231 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hannan has moved Senate Bill 231 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered. You want that one?
Sure.
Senator Hannan will carry that one. We are adjourned.